And I want to talk a little bit about change. Has anybody in here been changed over the years? We change in a lot of ways, don't we? We change in our age, we change in our appearance, but I've known some of you for a few years, and you've changed, spiritually. And, Brother Mike talked about the other night how he's gone from pool halls to the pulpit. I don't think you put it that way, but I guess I'll summarize. And, I look out across this congregation, and if we put the faces in here that are in here on Sunday morning, too, there's been a lot of change in this congregation. Brother Daniel's not here tonight, but I was talking with him the other day, and I just remember when your family first started coming around Liberty and the ministry, and I guess I'd say, not that I know this, but just if I were observing, I'd say Brother Daniel was kind of filling us out, maybe. And I was talking to him the other day, and it's just, he's all in. I mean, he's just all in. God's blessing him, and I just see a change there. I just see a change. And I say God can change people. When I look at myself, and there's been a lot of change in my life from where I would have been, where I was. And there's still a lot of change that needs to happen, quite frankly. I've got a ways to go, personally. I got a lot to fix. I got a lot to improve upon. I got a long way to go to get to where God would have me to be. But I'm not where I was. And there's been real change in my life. God always changes us for the better. He changes us for the good and for His purpose. So let's look over and I'm just going to go through a few verses. Well, through a story tonight here. Luke chapter 8, verse 22. Luke chapter 8, verse 22. We're going to look at the story of Legion tonight. It's a good story of change. Luke chapter 8, verse 22, it says, "Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, Let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. So Jesus said, let us go over to the other side. Now I've noticed something with Jesus in my life. Jesus has a direction. And Jesus is going somewhere. He has a plan. He has a path. And His Word has invited us, and He has invited us to take the journey with Him. He's not interested in taking the journey that we've defined or the direction we intend to go necessarily. Sometimes He'll tolerate us for a little while on our own path, but He would have us go where He wants to go. And when God has given us direction in our lives, He would have us join Him in His direction. And I'm a firm believer that there's only one place that we can be to be in God's perfect will. And I believe that's where God strengthens us. That's where our supply is waiting on us. That's where our protection is. That's where God would have us be to use us. And that's where we can feel fulfilled. Anywhere off of that mark is a lesser situation for us. And we have to spend time focusing on God's Word and God's will in our lives to determine God's way. In Proverbs 3, he says, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct our paths. And all our ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct our paths. I like that when God says, do this, and that will happen. In all our ways, acknowledge Him, and He'll be there to direct our paths. I kind of like promises like that out of God's Word. So, they went with Him. He's, without much description, He said, let's go over to the other side of the lake. And they jumped in and went. So, whenever you hear God's voice, I would encourage you to get in on that and go the direction God would have us go. In verse 23, it says, but as they sailed, He fell asleep, and there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water, and they were in jeopardy. So the path that God had for them wasn't necessarily a smooth path. They immediately went into jeopardy. But if you look at God's situation, Jesus' situation, he was asleep in that situation. There's always peace and there's always rest that Jesus has to offer in any situation. So they didn't have to handle this situation, but I'm sure they felt anxious about it. Did anybody feel anxious the other day when we were told that a storm was coming? A little bit anxious, right? Because you know, if you looked at the pictures, if you looked at what happened in the Caribbean around the Virgin Islands, you looked at what happened over in Cuba, it was kind of rough, wasn't it? I mean, Cuba kind of slowed it down for us. I'm not going to say that. I can't say anything bad about Cuba because we're going to be loving everybody, right? But Cuba slowed it down for us, and that was a good thing. It actually wobbled it up into a different direction. And the people of Cuba, that was a lot of devastation. And across Puerto Rico and out in those areas. So it was a scary thing. It had potential to be a really scary thing for us. But God stayed that storm and put us in a situation where, I don't know, I took off work because I didn't want to be 60 miles away and have a lot of stuff going on here at the house and not be able to get back home. And I just ended up with a day off work. And a lot of us did. So I guess that was okay. But God protected us from that. God can be in those situations, and you won't know the power of God until you're in a situation that's totally out of your control, and God speaks peace into that situation. It's hard to doubt God after that happens, because you can always go back in your mind, and you can go, well, where did that come from? Where did that peace come from? You don't experience that day to day, but when God speaks peace in a chaotic situation, that convinces you that God is real. So in verse 24, and they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was calm. And he said unto them, Where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, What manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, that they may obey him. Well, who was he? What manner of man is this? Well, he was the Messiah. Over in John 1:1, it talks about he was in the beginning. You know, a lot of folks want to put Jesus in a category. A category of a good prophet, a great teacher, a charismatic leader. That's the way we kind of get by with, yeah, there's some credibility to this Christianity thing. There's some credibility to Jesus. But he was just another great leader through time. Well, C.S. Lewis talks about how we've got to decide around Jesus. You guys know what C.S. Lewis said? He said, we've got to decide, is Jesus a liar? Is he a lunatic? Or is he Lord? You really are left with those three choices when it comes to Jesus. He said he was the Son of God. He said he is the I Am. He said that he created all things. He said he was the light, the door. He claimed to be one with God. So, if he was lying, he was crazy, or he is Lord. Now, we just talked about the fact that he can speak peace in a situation. I saw an interview the other day on one of the news networks, and they were doing a special on a man that claimed to be Messiah. And he's living today. And I forget his name. It was something, he's not from around here. Let's put it that way. I think he is living out in California, but he didn't look like he was from California. I don't know what that means anymore, looking like you're from somewhere. But he was wearing a blue robe, and he had people there in his, I'll call it commune, ranch, farm, whatever, that were also wearing blue robes. And he was standing on the top of a barn and preached to them. And even the reporter talked about how charismatic he was. But And he also has a website, by the way, if you wanted to check it out. I don't remember the .com or anything, so I'm not going to bore you with that. But I'm looking at this guy thinking, and he's all fixed up. I'm thinking, he's crazy. Just flat out crazy. I think he believed it. I don't think he was a liar. I think he was crazy. But I can put him in that category. Jesus said that we can know he was evidence of who he was by the miracles that he did. So he turned water into wine. That was the first miracle. He healed the blind. Do you know how complex an eyeball is? If you were to study the eyeball of the human body, and you were to study what it takes to make up that organism and that muscle and all the nerves and all the light translation that happens in there, all of that going on in an eyeball, and you take someone who was born without a functioning set of eyeballs, and he spits on the ground and makes mud and smears it across the eyes and says, okay, go wash that mud out, and he can see. I don't know about you, but that's evidence of a great power to me. So that evidence came across here on this lake when he told the storm to be still, and the winds and the water obeyed him. So this confused even his disciples. What manner of man is this that the wind and the water obey? So in verse 26, and they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee, and went forth to the land, and there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. So this man, we all know who he is, right? He's going to tell us his name a little later. His name was Legion. And he was so full of the devil that he was in a mess. He was not wearing clothes. He's living amongst the dead, running around making noise. The townspeople would, and we'll learn a little later, would chain him up and he'd break the chains. And he was a life that was totally out of control. You know, a lot of times we let our life get out of control, but we still know how to button it up, tuck it in. We know how to polish the shoes, and we know how to go ahead and function in society. But a lot of times inside, we're just as messed up as the situation Legion had. He was in a situation where you could look at him, and he was out of control. Everyone knew it. So in verse 28, when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not." So it's kind of interesting here that a man full of devils would recognize Jesus as the deity that he was. And many of us in our society can't recognize Jesus as he is. His deity was recognized. Matthew 1:23 talks about, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," being interpreted, "God with us." So Jesus came down in the form of a flesh and dwelt with us. And this legion had come across this Jesus and saw his power and saw his deity and was afraid. In verse 29, "For he commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For oft times it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and fetters, and he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, What is thy name? And he said, Legion, because many devils were entered into him." So a legion, according to my study Bible, was about 3,000 to 6,000 demons that were in the man. It said that he was bound with chains. And he would break the bands and was driven into the wilderness. And they, the demons besought him and would not command them to go, that he would not command them to go into the deep. So this deep that is being talked about is mentioned in Revelation 9, where it says, "And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose smoke out of the pit, and out of smoke a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit." So this is where these demons did not want to go. So in verse 32, "And there was a herd of many swine feeding on the mountain, and they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them, and he did that." He suffered them. "Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down to a steep place into the lake where were choked." So what we see here is a man that's full of the demons destroying himself. Satan always destroys us. I mean, I've said this teaching in many different lessons, but there's a truth in our lives that we need to grasp. And we need to teach our young people this. And we need to teach anyone who will listen this. Satan will always destroy. Even if he has to promote us to destroy us. Legion was cutting himself with stones. He was in a situation where these demons were taking over and he was literally cutting himself with stones. When we choose the wrong path in our lives, it may not be as obvious as cutting with stones, but we're chipping away at the image that God would have for us. We're slowly chipping away at what God would have us be. And we're slowly and sometimes quickly destroying ourselves under the power of that force. It's not always, this is what I'm talking about, when God says, "Go this way," and we go, "Yeah, but there's more for me over here. There's a better situation over here." When I apply the logic of my mind, well, that's a better situation. That's a better home. That's a better a job. That's a better, that's just better. And you add up with earthly numbers and you go, "Yeah, why wouldn't I do this?" But if God says, "Don't do this, do that," that's where our prosperity lies. Satan would offer opportunities for us to get off that path. And we get to decide. We get to decide. We make small decisions every day that look like, well, I know my spirit's telling me this, but, you know, my flesh is telling me that, and I'm going to go do that. One more cut with a stone. One more cut with a stone. And we get ourselves in a situation where if we're not careful, all the change that we see over the years won't be change for the better. Where we look back 10 years ago and go, "Boy, I sure have made some progress here." It'll be, "Wow, I wish I could get back to the person I was 10 years ago." And we don't ever want to be in a situation where we're going the wrong direction. And if you look, and if you sit there and you say, "Well, I'm the same as I was 10 years ago." Remember what I said earlier, that Jesus is always going somewhere? There's a place to go with Jesus. If in your mind you're the same as you were 10 years ago, you probably got these big old huge blind spots and you may actually be backing up. Because if we're going with God, then we should be incrementally getting more like God over the years. And we ought to be able to see some progress in our spiritual maturity and in our lives over the years. And we ought to be able to look back and say, "Wow, 10 years ago I believed this and I saw it this way and I was acting this way." I maybe hadn't solved all those problems, but I'm a little bit more like Christ today. God would have us make progress in our lives and continue in our lives to do better and to be better and to be more like Him. So in verse 34, when they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. Seems like when there's real change in a situation, people talk about it, don't they? I am really happy to hear that Morgan got saved, that he accepted Christ. A couple reasons, because I've been teaching Morgan here and there over the last few years downstairs, and I think the world is safer that Morgan has the Spirit of God in him. What do you guys think? I think the world's in a better place now. That boy has got energy, and he is so smart, and got such a personality. I think he can really do something for God, and I want him on that side of things for sure. So that's goodness. I'm really happy for him and for you guys. That's awesome. So when change happens, people talk about it. And they had talked about it in the city. And then in verse 35, then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Jesus always restores when he touches us. Without exception, it's in his nature. He can't do anything else but help us. Here's the trick, though. Sometimes he has to hurt us to help us. Sometimes we can't hear, and we have to get in a situation. Sometimes we have to get in rough water so we can see his power. Sometimes we have to get in rough water so that we can see we don't have power. Sometimes we have to be humbled because our own pride will eventually destroy us or to destroy the people around us. Sometimes God has to put us in a situation where we're brought down a few notches to be helped and to be more like Him. It doesn't feel good. It's not easy to live through. It's not easy to talk about. It doesn't feel good on your reputation. It's not what we want for ourselves. But just like a doctor that's going in to take out a cancer, if the doctor's focus is to be gentle and to make it an easy surgery where I won't go get all of it, I'll just get some of that because I want to make this an easy situation, that's really not going to help that person, is it? It's going to leave some stuff behind that needs to be taken care of that later is going to create a bad situation. So a good doctor and someone that's responsible is going to go get everything. And they're going to get everything out of that body so that nothing can grow up later. Well, why would God be any different when He's trying to get sin out of our lives and trying to get pride out of our lives? He might put us in a situation that's extremely uncomfortable and may even require a lot of recovery time to get ourselves to where we feel like we've recovered from that. Because I'll tell you, the humbling process is rough. And the rebuilding process is sometimes long. And God would have us go through that sometimes to make us better for it. So I would just say if you're at a decision point in your life, in this house, why wouldn't you choose Jesus? Whether it's a decision of salvation, you've been thinking about that for a while, or maybe been under conviction for a while, or if it's a decision in your home, if it's a decision in your job, if it's a decision in your life, why wouldn't you choose God's way? If you can determine, and God said if we would acknowledge Him, He would direct our paths. If you're acknowledging God in that situation, you're getting direction, why wouldn't you choose that direction? Even if it feels like in this world, a step down. Even if it feels like it doesn't add up. The logic doesn't add up. Sometimes we have to do that and go on faith because God's spoken to us and God's given us direction in our lives. Because God always creates a better situation for us. He always wants to promote us into a situation that is healthier for us, is healthier for the people around us, and prospers His kingdom. God would have us be in that situation. God would have us be better 10 years from now. So, I would encourage you to remember God's power in these situations and to think about the change that's happened in your life. And to think about the change that's happened over the years and the change that's possible. I remember a time in my life when I couldn't even sleep because I knew I wasn't living right. And I was convinced, personally convinced, because I was a Christian, I wasn't living right, and I hadn't been living right for years, I was convinced many nights that I wasn't going to wake up the next morning. That's an awful, unsettled place to be. An awful, unsettled place to be. And when you got that flesh and that spirit working against one another, the people around you don't get the best version of you. You don't get the best version of you. You end up doing things that are unhealthy for yourself and for everyone. But being in a situation where you can lay your head down at night and know that there's peace and that we're doing the right things to try to do what God would have us do. Not perfect, not righteous, but trying to acknowledge God in our lives. That's a much better place to be. And I would encourage anyone that's maybe thinking about this ministry, if it feels like home to you, it probably is. That's kind of what drew me here. It felt like home. The Holy Spirit was talking to me. It was home. And this is a great place to get fed and to learn God's direction for you. Thank you for your attention tonight.